Would you open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 21 this morning? Revelation chapter 21. When I use the word new, N-E-W, new, what is your perception of the word? New can be wonderful. A new home, a new car, a new job, a new friend, a new shirt, a new dress, a new pair of jeans, a new savings account. New in this context can be wonderful. But new can also not be so great. A new virus, a new debt, a new problem, a new health crisis, a new relationship crisis, a new breakup, a new hurt. New in this context can be painful. Revelation 21, as we prepare to look to God's Word, I want to speak to us on this subject of new. We certainly have endured our share of new this year. Some of the new we have endured will carry over into a new school year here in just a few weeks. And it will have new challenges. But probably most of us have had our share of new for a while. There's some of us this morning that for the most part, new is okay. But right now, it's like, okay, I'm done with new for a while. Let's go back to the old and forget the new. Revelation 21 describes John's first view of the new heaven and new earth. In this vision, there is not an abundance of details, but there are some very meaningful positives and negatives. In verses 5 through 8, Jesus himself speaks from the throne. I want us to get the overall context, so let's read Revelation 21, verses 1 through 8. Follow along as I read Revelation 21, verses 1 through 8. The Bible says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.' And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said unto me, 'It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.'" This thrilling passage in the Bible should draw our hearts toward heaven. Are you looking forward with anticipation to being with Jesus in eternity? I don't know about you, but I am. I am looking forward to being with Jesus. But I also recognize that this passage is intended to help us now. Yes, we should be excited about eternity with Jesus in heaven. But this passage of Scripture does something for our lives now. Did you catch Jesus' first statement from the throne in verse number 5? When Jesus first opens His mouth and speaks from the throne, there in verse 9, He says to the Apostle John, "Behold, I make all things new." While the context of this statement is certainly heaven and eternity, the interpretation and application of the statement is not limited to that context. John was having this vision and writing these words in the late first century. And Jesus did not say, "Behold, I will make all things new." He said, "Behold, I make all things new." When Jesus spoke those words to the Apostle John in the late first century, Jesus was already making all things new. Now, in the early part of the 21st century, not quite 2,000 years later, Jesus is still making all things new. Now, this applies primarily to His work to bring all things to conclusion in eternity. But I believe it has individual applications in each of our lives. And I trust that these thoughts will encourage you as we consider all things new. And as you listen and reflect, would you commit to depend on, to go to, and glory in Christ who makes all things new? Four things I want to bring to your attention. First of all, Jesus offers a new start. Jesus offers a new start. Jesus Christ, even today, is offering a new start to people. And it applies to us in so many different ways. Do you ever feel like you need to hit the reset button? How many of you have ever owned any type of video gaming device? Years ago, when we lived in Pensacola, I would play on our Nintendo Wii at the time from time to time. A nearby pastor friend, John Utley, who pastors over in Apex, North Carolina, once in a great while, he and his wife would come over. And round about 10 o'clock at night, we might pull out the Wii and turn it on. And we like to play FIFA, soccer, on the Wii. John had this terrible habit. If he was losing to me, or if we were playing on the same team and losing late in the game, he would hit the power button and turn off the system. He didn't want to lose. So we'd reset, we'd go back and start that game again, and same thing. If we were losing toward the end of the game, or if he was losing to me, he'd hit the power button. This went on over and over and over again. He just hated losing. He wanted to hit the reset button. You ever feel like in life, you want to hit the reset button? For you, that may be true of life in general. You may sense today that you've really made a mess of your life and wish to hit the reset button. You may deeply sense brokenness, emptiness, and hopelessness as you survey life and reflect on your own life. Do you know Jesus Christ? Jesus makes all things new. If you don't know Him today, I want to introduce Him to you. Jesus is the Son of God who came to earth, entering and participating in our brokenness. He is the perfect Lamb of God come to take away the sin of the world. Sin is the root of our brokenness, emptiness, and hopelessness. You may not realize that, but it's true. Sin is the root of all of those things. By His death on the cross, Jesus took authority from sin and death. He broke the power of sin By His resurrection from the grave, He took authority from sin and death, and He offers you eternal life, new life, that you can freely have by believing in Him. Do you need a new start? Jesus makes all things new. He offers you a new start. It doesn't matter how much you've messed up in your life or how much someone else has messed up your life. Bring your broken, empty, hopeless life to Jesus and He will make you new. 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Jesus makes all things new. And He can give you a new start. Maybe this morning, you're a child of God. You know Jesus Christ is your Savior. You're saved. Maybe you need a fresh start. Brokenness, emptiness, and hopelessness are not foreign to the child of God. In response to choices that we make, circumstances, we as children of God can feel broken, can feel empty, can feel hopeless. Have you ever sensed those feelings as a child of God? Have some wrong choices led your marriage to the edge of failure? Has some failure in your life led you to the point of giving up? Have the challenges and circumstances overwhelmed you to the extent that you are throwing in the towel? Perhaps that's where you find yourself today as a child of God. You entered the house of the Lord, or you're tuned in on the internet listening to the service today, to the message. You might be here in North Carolina or scattered abroad to some other part of the world, and yet you sense a feeling of hopelessness, of emptiness, of brokenness. Jesus offers a fresh start. Jesus offers a new start. He is making all things new. Maybe this morning I'll pull out in recognition of Back to School Sunday my board here. And maybe you sense one of these things. Maybe today you feel broken, empty, or hopeless because of sin. Because of some distress, some circumstance, or some challenge. Maybe you just feel hopeless as you survey your life in this world in which we live today. Brother Gabe mentioned in his life group today how we look around at the world and it's craziness and it's chaos. And we just feel the overwhelming sense of that in our lives. Maybe we feel hopeless about our culture and our society. There's been a lot in the news recently, hasn't there, about chaos and craziness. I saw a news story just this morning of some of these protests that have been going on in Portland in the United States of America, where on Friday night protesters were burning the Bible. Maybe seeing all that's going on has left you today feeling down. Jesus offers a fresh start, a new start. Friend, I don't care. I shouldn't say I don't care necessarily. It sounds like I'm not concerned. I am concerned. It doesn't matter what it is in your life. Whether you're unsaved, you may not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Not knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior is what leads to the eternity that verse 8 talks about. Eternity in the lake of fire. But Jesus died for your sin. He was buried and He rose again. And He makes all things new. By coming to faith in Christ, He will make you a new creature in Christ and give you a home for all of eternity in heaven. But maybe you're a child of God. And because of sinful choices, because of circumstances and challenges in your life, you feel broken, empty, hopeless. Come to Jesus. You don't need to be saved, but you need to be forgiven of a sinful choice. You need to find strength in His loving arms, grace in Him. You know what Jesus will do when you come to Him? All of those things that are in your life, that are weighing you down, that you are feeling broken and empty and hopeless over, you know what He'll do? He'll just take it and He'll wipe it away. He'll make it clean. Isn't that what the Word of God says? To the Christian, if I confess my sin, He is what? Faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Maybe today, as an individual, you need a new start. Maybe as a believer, a child of God, you need a new start. Friends, Jesus is making all things new. He'll give you a new start. Will you accept it? I want to show you a second truth today. Jesus not only offers a new start, He offers a new substance. Jesus offers a new substance. If you know Jesus Christ, Jesus gives you new meaning and essence in your life. If you know Jesus is your Savior, you must know that He gives your life new substance. He offers you this new meaning, this new essence, this new purpose. Knowing Jesus brings that. It brings new, true, meaningful purpose to our lives that nothing else can bring. When you know Jesus, life is not just a rat race that you're trying to survive, hopefully, comfortably. When you know Jesus, life is not limited to the shallow substance of making money, of doing the best you can to get through, of leaving some lasting impact, just hoping to touch somebody else's life. Knowing Jesus brings substance that is both present and eternal, is both temporal and spiritual, is both doable and meaningful. Jesus brings new substance. May I suggest to those of you who are students of schools and colleges that your time spent in school and college is not nearly as useless as you may think it is? Do we sometimes feel that way? School, college is just useless. I just have to do it. I've been a student really for most of my life at this point. And I know the tendency to think of school and classes as useless and meaningless. I've been there. I've got to tell you, studying evangelism as a major at college, I definitely thought that one class I had to take, oral interpretation of poetry, was pretty useless at the time. Was pretty meaningless to my life. But can I suggest to you that the only things that are truly a waste of time are the things that we do not do all to the glory of God? Think about that. The only things that are truly a waste of time are the things where we do not do all to the glory of God. If you know Christ and you're following Him, nothing needs to be waste and meaningless. Know Him, yield to Him, and everything He puts in your life will have meaning and purpose. Jesus offers a new substance. Jesus offers a new start. Thirdly, Jesus offers a new subject. That's a great word for back to school Sunday, isn't it? Jesus offers a new subject. When you know Christ and you're committed to Him, your goals and objectives are different than when you do not know Christ or are not committed to Him. When you know Christ and you're committed to Him, He gives you a new aim. It's not just that He provides new meaning in essence, new purpose, but He actually offers a new subject in the way of objective or goals. What is your aim in life? For a student, it may be to pass everything, to graduate. We have a couple of seniors in high school this year. I know, having worked with teenagers for many years, what are you hoping to accomplish? This? I just want to graduate. I just want to pass everything. Maybe as a student, your goal is actually a 4.0. Make a sports team. Win an award. Get into a specific club. Teachers, what are your goals for this school year? All of your students to pass. Lower your total time of engagement. Be a better communicator. Keep your lesson book a week ahead at all times. Ah! No angry parent communication. That's always enjoyable. What are your goals? Retirees, what goals do you have? How does knowing Jesus affect your goals, your aim in life? Jesus is making all things new, and He wants to give you a new subject. He wants to give you some new objectives. He wants you to do your best and give all glory to Him. He wants you to know Him and become more like Him. He wants you to grow in Him. He wants you to make Him known. Perhaps, you need to rearrange your goals to match His. If your goals, if your aims, your objectives are out of line with Jesus, friends, it's not Jesus who needs to rearrange His goals. It's not Jesus who needs to rearrange His aim. It's not Jesus who needs to rearrange His objective. It's not Jesus who needs to rearrange His priorities. If my goals, aims, ambitions, objectives, priorities don't line up with Jesus Christ, it's not He who needs to rearrange. It's me. What are your goals? Do they line up with His? Maybe rearranging your goals to match His means that you need to get up 10, 15, 20 minutes sooner so that you can pray and read His Word. I know some students out there are listening and saying, "Pastor, I already get up at 7:30 so I can get out the door by 8 o'clock. You know how terrible that is." Maybe it's time to grow up a little bit. Can you get up out of bed unprovoked by mom and dad? Or whoever, 10, 15, 20 minutes earlier so you can spend a little time in His Word or in prayer? Hey, adult men, instead of jumping up just in time to get your uniform on or whatever it may be to get out the door and get in the car and get to work, can you get up 10, 15, 20 minutes earlier and spend some time in the Word of God and in prayer before you head off to work? Ladies, whatever your day looks like, can you get up a little sooner to spend some time with the Lord? You say, "Pastor, is that all there is to having the same goals as Jesus Christ?" No, but it's a really good start. Jesus offers a new subject. When you know Jesus Christ and you're committed to Him, friends, He's going to give you a new purpose in life. along with that, to help you reach that purpose, he's going to give you some new goals, a new subject, something to aim for, something to know, something to learn, that you're going to keep on learning and keep on knowing all through your life. I'm so thankful today that he's making all things new, aren't you? He offers a new start. He offers a new subject, substance. He offers a new subject. He's making all things new. Will you allow him to change you? And then I want to give you this last thought. Jesus offers a new strength. Jesus offers a new strength. Do you ever just feel weak and weary? Are you just tired of 2020? Anybody like that in the house today? I've heard so much in different places. I'm tired of this new normal. I want the old normal. New can be great in some contexts, like we talked about earlier, but I think at this point we're all just tired of new. Just give me what I'm used to. No new right now. Maybe today you just feel weak, weary, tired. It's a drag to get up and go on with anything. I think that I've seen the evidence of believers growing tired. And it's hard to go on with anything. I know some of you have seen some of the same things I've seen in the news. Even about believers. I've seen reports of one-third of professing Christians who were going to church prior to the pandemic not going to church. It's not just they're not going to church, they're not watching church either. I saw a report just recently about 40% of Christians who were reading their Bible pre-COVID are no longer reading their scriptures each day. Why? Maybe just growing tired, growing weary. This old world has a tendency of causing that, doesn't it? Maybe you are there, you're just tired of going on day by day. In this year that has brought with it just a bunch of bad news, friends, I have some really good news for you. Jesus is making all things new. You may be tired, you may be weary, you may be weak. Jesus Christ is making all things new, and He offers you a new strength. I'm thankful today Jesus doesn't leave us to go through life on our own and our own strength. As I study the Scriptures, I find that He gives rest to the weary. He gives strength to the weak. He renews strength, grace, and compassion every day, renewing the spirit of His people, Old and New Testament alike. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The New Testament declares that He renews the inner man day by day. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And be not weary in well-doing, for in due season ye shall reap if ye faint not. John chapter 1, He adds grace to grace. You know what that means? You may have reached your limit. You may come to the end of a day or the end of a situation and think, oh, I have used up all of the grace that God's given me. I've used up all the strength that He made available to me. He adds grace to grace just when you think you can't do it anymore. Just when you think that you don't have any more strength. Just when you think that you have exhausted His grace, He is right there to give you fresh grace, to give you fresh strength, to give you a fresh anointing. He's right there. He offers you fresh, new strength. Are you there, friend? Tired? Weary? You don't think you can go on anymore? He gives you a new strength. The songwriter said it this way, He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, He addeth His mercy. To multiplied trials, His multiplied peace. His love has no limit, His grace has no measure. His power no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed, ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. His love has no limit. His grace has no power, has no measure, excuse me. His power has no boundary known unto men. For out of His infinite riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. Jesus is making all things new. Are you thankful today that He makes all things new? We've had our share of new. Getting ready to kick off for some a new school year with some new challenges. God makes, He's making all things new. He offers you a new start. Do you need that today? Perhaps you need a new start to life by becoming a child of God. He'll accept you if you come to Him by faith. And perhaps you're a child of God already, and yet you need a new start. You've messed up. You've failed. You've given up. You've thrown in the towel. He'll give you a new start. He offers you a new substance. When you're His, He gives you new meaning for your life. He offers you a new subject. If you belong to Him, you have goals that are meaningful and useful to your life in eternity. He offers you a new strength. If you're weary, weak, Jesus gives you new strength for a new day and new challenges. He makes all things new. Would you determine to depend on Him, go to Him, and glory in Him who makes all things new? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? With your heads bowed and eyes closed as you're reflecting on the truth that has been shared today, I just wonder today if God has spoken to your heart. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, Pastor Willard, that's me. I needed this message today, all things new. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? Pastor, that was me. All over the auditorium with hands raised, many hands, you can put those down. Praise the Lord for that. Maybe you're that one who just needs a new start. Perhaps for you that means coming to Jesus Christ as your Savior and becoming a child of God. You can do that right now from wherever you are. If right there you will call out to the Lord, admitting that you are a sinner in need of a Savior and that Jesus is the only Savior, believing that He died for your sins, was buried, and rose again, God will save you and make you a child of God. He'll make you a new creature. Maybe you're a child of God and you need that fresh start with Him. Because of some sin, some wrong choice, some challenge or difficulty that has just caused you to want to give up, you need to respond to Him. Perhaps you need to depend on, go to Him and glory in Him, because He's given you new substance, new meaning to life. He's given you that new subject, that new objective or goal that you need to yield to and commit to Him. Perhaps you need to ask Him for that fresh measure of grace or strength. God is working in your heart in just a moment. I'm going to ask you to respond to Him. The altar will be open. If you'd like to come and bow at the altar, you can also make an altar right there in your own heart at your seat. If God is working in your heart, would you respond in obedience? Lord, as we now come to You, I pray that You would help us to be obedient to Your leading as we reflect on the truth of God's Word. We'll be sure to praise You for it in Jesus' name.